There's Broadside. Today's June 25th, 1998 show is going to be transcribed. There will be no call-ins, although if you have comments on the show, you can give a call to Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom at 423-HUFF, H-U-F-F, 423-4833. If you have any thoughts, criticisms, additions, objections, and anything you want put on the next show, which will air on Sunday at 11 o'clock in the morning. It will be on Sunday the 28th, assuming all goes well. And of course, that is a real question for us here at Free Radio these days, with the Claudia Wilkin decision upholding a permanent injunction against Free Radio Berkeley. As regular listeners know, that we've been on the air for 3 years now, and Free Radio Berkeley has been on the air for longer than that, and we had really hoped to have the courts uphold basic First Amendment rights for us micro-broadcasters under 100 watts to be able to share information with the community and engage in non-corporate free speech. We have not yet been able to secure that ruling. Instead, on a technicality, the lawsuit of Stephen Denifer challenging the FCC's right to essentially eliminate all stations under 100 watts was thrown out for lack of standing. That is to say, they ruled he had not gone through all the permit processes required, although there was actually no permit process for what's called the Class B license for those under 100 watts. The only chance he would have had would have been the unlikely event of a so-called waiver, which I believe has been granted only in one case in a Navajo station, or a station in broadcasting in Diné, the language of the Navajo people. And not only because there was no other station within 100 miles. In any case, stations across the country are suffering the effects of this decision. Locally, well, not locally, but in California, in Bakersfield, the station was raided, its equipment seized within the last week. San Jose station is closed down, although that's apparently not for that reason, but for more for technical and equipment problems. There have been threats to other local stations here in the peninsula area. And it's really beginning to look like Free Radio Berkeley needs your support more than ever. If you want these shows to continue, you've got to support us. You've got to call in and offer us financial support, offer us legal support, let us know you're solid here. We can tell you how to contact the FCC and oppose their latest attempt to censor all stations that don't meet the wealth criterion, the pocketbook criterion that they are requiring. Free Radio Berkeley, of course, has been off the air for a couple of weeks now, except they're on the internet, that should be said. I was corrected by broadcaster Reckless last week when I mentioned Free Radio Berkeley was down. It's not really down, it's going out on the internet, but of course that's not the same as going out over the airwaves, which allows folks with a simple radio who've never had contact, or rarely had contact with non-corporate radio, corporation-free radio, radio that challenges the basic myths and misconceptions and commercial obscenities that rule our society. These folks have a chance to hear Free Radio. That's you out there listening to this show right now. That's not going to happen if Free Radio is closed down or has to close down for fear of thousands of dollars of fines, time in jail, and confiscation of their property and equipment, which is what is happening in Philadelphia, as you probably heard if you listened to broadcaster Phil Free's show on Monday night. Former broadcaster Vinny, the V-Man, familiar voice here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, had to unfortunately report that the Philadelphia station was raided and it was closed down, its equipment seized. So there are other stations that are taking a more militant stance. In New York City, Steelless Radio, the New York City, one of New York City micro stations, when it was served with papers in April, responded with a lawsuit in May and said, this was a and sought an injunction against the FCC for proceeding to violate its rights, and that's a positive sign. So it's a really touchy, difficult situation, and Free Radio Santa Cruz can use your help. If you want to help, or if you want to learn what you can do to help, call 427-4523, 427-4523. Again, my apologies for the poor tape quality here. My studio facilities leave something to be desired. But hopefully we're going to be presenting some tapes in the next couple of hours that may interest you. Last night, I went up to Berkeley, to the Police Review Commission up there. That's the body that supposedly oversees police misconduct, but in recent years has been reduced to something around, well, it's hard to say it's been released to the status of a Santa Cruz's Citizens Police Review Board, which is really pathetic. Police Review Commission in Berkeley actually holds subcommittee meetings that are open, has an investigator that investigates complaints to some extent, although they're usually way behind, and they do so in a process that can be seen by the public. In recent days, there's been a big crackdown on Telegraph Avenue called Operation Avenue Watch up there, funded by the Berkeley City Council to the tune of $70,000+, supposedly to clean up the avenue, but actually, according to reports, which you're going to hear, we're going to play some selections from that hearing last night, where there was not a single voice defending the Berkeley Police Department, and literally dozens of people were speaking against the crackdown on Telegraph Avenue, which they feared would explode in violence and someone would get hurt on one side or another. There actually was positive action taken, strangely enough, by the Police Review Commission, although one has to see whether their deeds will match their words. Let's hear some of the testimony, and then I'll tell you what the Police Review Commission did. We join them in progress in the midst of testimony by Berkeley activist Carol Denny, who writes the Pepper Spray Times, was a broadcaster on Free Radio Berkeley, is a folk singer you often hear on this station. Her latest album is Failure to Disperse, but here she is speaking up for the rights of homeless people in Berkeley, followed by others who do so also quite eloquently.
Yeah, the street sweeper was pushed on Telegraph Avenue, was pushed deliberately within inches of people sitting peacefully on the sidewalk. People who were not obstructing anyone's passage or violating any law. As many as 6 police officers were called to persuade these peaceful people, whom the police admitted were in violation of no law, to move out of the way of a street sweeper which had already cleaned the same spot earlier that day. The sweeper ignored the other parts of the sidewalk. His only interest was in the spot directly under these people. I live in West Berkeley. I live at the intersection of University and San Pablo, where the streets do not seem to merit this special maintenance. Yeah. And a wounded brakes guard bled to death before my eyes, before the police showed up. I object, as do many people throughout the city of Berkeley, to the disproportionate public resources being expended to placate a whining merchant group which can't seem to understand that the area around any campus will always attract youth rather than a full street crowd. I call upon the commission tonight not to deal with this well-documented abuse of public resources in a piecemeal fashion, complaint by complaint, but rather to speak out now to stop the continuous violation of human rights before it goes on for yet another day, before it goes on for yet another week, before someone gets hurt. In 1991, when a very similar scene was happening on the south side of campus, Marvell Charette, who was a city council representative then and is now, called a press conference in front of Cody to speak out against the human rights violations going on. I call upon you to do the same thing. Do not wait for the 5 votes from the city council. Speak out now. And I call upon the people in this room to remember that the Police Review Commission has only so much power. But there's one man in this room whose presence I'm very glad to see, Chris Worthington over here, who represents District 7. Chris, I'm glad you're here. But Chris, it's time to speak now before somebody gets badly hurt. Chris is here saying that he needs 5 votes before he will speak out. He's here saying he needs more documentation. Even if you don't fill out one of these forms, speak to Chris, call Chris's office, and let Chris know what's really going on. And stand with him when he gives a press conference in front of Cody's, as I hope he will, because I heard you last night, Chris, and I want to tell everyone here, no matter what you're saying now, you said very positive things last night in front of the city council about Avenue Watch. You waxed poetic about how clean the streets were, and it broke my heart, because I went up there and I saw for myself what was going on. You represent that district, you live in that district, it's time for you to walk those streets, take a look at what's going on, and say no, because it's not fair for 5 votes to weigh in against human rights. Thank you.
Chris Worthington is a council member from the district in which Telegraph Avenue is situated, near the University of California South Side, an area of some turbulence in the past, radical activity in the 60s and 70s, even into the 80s, when the Berkeley City Council itself had a somewhat radical tinge before the arrival of yuppieism under the latter days of Mayor Lonnie Hancock and Shirley Dean, their new mayor in Berkeley, or their old mayor actually, who is pressing for a return of the sit on the sidewalk, go to jail laws. Now, lacking such laws, police are still acting as though they have those laws, and they're apparently doing so with the connivance of the city manager and in the silence of the so-called liberal majority of the Berkeley City Council. This, of course, is nothing new to those of us in Santa Cruz who see similar violations of basic human rights downtown for poor people harassed for riding a bicycle, walking a dog, sitting on the sidewalk. In Santa Cruz, they claim, oh, it's just the law, we have to enforce the law. But in fact, the laws, of course, were designed for selective enforcement, and frequently, the kinds of charges that are levied and the kinds of actions taken by the police don't comport with the law at all. And we saw, for example, in the shooting of Happy John Dine, that whole case not only seemed very, very suspicious to many of us who looked into it more closely, but the investigation covering it did not in any way reach the roots of what went on, was not public, was not open or independent, and we have a similar situation in Santa Cruz. In any case, more testimony from the Berkeley Police Review Commission. Later you're going to hear Councilmember Chris Worthington, who now seems to become more of a politician than an activist. He used to be something of an activist. Now, even after a week of this crackdown on Telegraph Avenue that you'll hear people talking about, he still wants more information before he will even come out against it, even though the police department did not even bother to show up at this very important meeting of the Police Review Commission. There was one spokesperson who was there, apparently paid to be there, had nothing to say when asked by the Police Review Commission what his response was from the police department. Let's hear more from the public.
I've been living in Berkeley since 1972, off and on. I've traveled all over the country. How much would you pay for this stack of books right here? Okay. I panhandle every day. Okay? Thirteen. I bought every one of these books. I bought this Bible at Cody's. You know how long it took me to panhandle up the money for this? About a month. I bought this book at the Cartesian used bookstore, right around the corner, for $30. I bought this book at Morrow's. I had to panhandle every single penny to get these books, and I do it every day. Do you know why I bought these books? Because I like to read the Bible, but I don't like to read the English Bible. I like to read the Hebrew. I don't know how to read the Hebrew, so I'm teaching myself. This is a Hebrew Bible, Hebrew English. This is a lexicon that was printed in 1844, and I got it for $30 at the Cartesian because I panhandled for it. Okay? And this Bible teaches the grammar. I panhandled for all these books. Okay? And I think it's really a bummer that the police are harassing people for sitting on the sidewalk. And they won't know me from Adam. They won't know what I do, how I spend my time. They judge me because of the way I look or because I smell bad. There's no showers around except for all the way downtown. They used to have showers over at Newman Hall, and they used to have showers at Willard Park. But they took those away because they want to concentrate all the homeless in one area. It reminds me of Nazi Germany when they were concentrating all the Jews that they didn't agree with, that they didn't like, you know? They're concentrating on the homeless in one area. Why not spread out the homeless services where people can reach them? I gotta spend all day so I can buy books while I'm panhandling.
Becky Johnson. Homelessness has been steadily increasing since 1980, and as a writer for Street Spirit, a homeless newspaper, and a member of Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, I've taken the time to educate myself about the condition of homelessness. In recent years, waves of what I call anti-homeless laws have sprung up across California. These laws make innocent acts, such as sleeping, covering up with blankets, asking for spare change, leaning against a building, having an open container of alcohol, and trespassing on the public sidewalk criminal acts, resulting in fines, confiscation of property, and arrest. Most of these laws are initiated by merchant associations, which fear the presence alone of homeless people will interfere with their profits. It is a misuse of police personnel, public funds, and violates the civil rights of homeless people when these laws are disproportionately and illegally applied to the homeless or street people. It costs $30,000 to keep an inmate in prison for 1 year. These same public funds could have been used to send a person to college for 4 years. No city in California, including Berkeley, has anywhere near the low-cost housing or temporary emergency shelter to house the homeless population within the city. Allowing the policy of merchant-inspired bigotry against homeless people to direct police resources to, quote, cleaning up the street of homeless people is a misuse of public resources, and it's morally wrong. Thank you.
The number one reason that I put the hat there is because Shane, who is a young man over here, we saw was basically is being stolen by the city of Berkeley. It's going to cost him $178 to get that dog out. I've seen Shane out there for quite some time, years actually, and I know that dog, for a little puppy. You love your animal. It's like that's his partner. And so it's going to cost him $178, which he doesn't have, and I doubt seriously he's ever going to get it. So, I don't know that we can raise that here, but I put that hat there, and you're number one, and it doesn't mean you got to give anything, but if you would just pass that hat down that table, and if you don't want it, just pass it down, don't give anything, that's fine. You're not obligated, nobody's going to be pissed off.
We have that Speaker John Vance, who writes a thing called the People's Bark, previously called the Berkeley Bark, but name was changed because it reminded too many people of a dog magazine also published in Berkeley. John Vance was passing around a hat, of course, for this man whose dog was dognapped by the police department and who faces destruction if he can't get that amount of money together. The first group of people that he passed the hat around to was the Police Review Commission itself, and interestingly enough, some of the members did give money, and they ended up getting about two-thirds of however much was required before the end of the evening.
I'm going to pass out here these folks so that maybe they might be considered enough to give a little money. I'll give some money. I'll give $5. So let's see how many people got a little compassion. I know a lot of people here don't have money, so if you don't, you don't. And a lot of people on the street just don't. And the second thing, so you might want to start passing that hat right now. Thank you. We're wrong. Just pick it up. There you go. It's easy. Let me start. Pardon me? Well, I'd rather just go ahead and start now and get it over with, and we'll see what happens. Okay? That's part of my request in my 3 minutes. If you don't want to do that, I don't know where this guy's going to get it, and I think that it's sort of like I said, you're not committed. It's not, it's not up to you. If you want to just kind of pass it down, just pass it down. And then pass it out to us, and we'll give some money. You don't have to. The next thing I want to mention, the PRC, the Police Review Commission, who Aaron Hamill is a very dear friend of mine, who is not here now, and is in parts that I won't mention because he may not want me to, but I think that you guys do a wonderful job. He did an unbelievably good job on this PRC, and that the Police Review Commission does not get the support that it needs, not only from the city, but from the people that are abused by the police, because most people that are abused by the police don't follow up on their complaints. And so when people are abused, generally, if you want the Police Review Commission to do something about it, you have to fill out the paperwork. You have to do something on your own to get them to do something for you. And so that's always been the history. That's why that the PRC is not, it's why they're losing support in the city of Berkeley. It's because people that are abused by the police refuse to file complaints with them, or when they file a complaint with the Police Review Commission, they don't follow up. So try to consider following up on complaints with the Police Review Commission so that they might get funding and they might get more support, because they're standing out all alone, believe it or not, and they need support too. The next thing, these people are not I would say, venture to say, I've lived on the streets for 15 years of my life. And that was after Vietnam, before Vietnam. And I wasn't homeless. I was a street person. I don't know where this homeless word came from. And I keep telling people, I know a lot of us keep saying, where does this homeless word come from? There's no such person. We live on the earth. We are street people. I'm still on the street. Although I have a house, but I'm on the street 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours, 4 hours a day. But when I was out there living in there, you know, okay, support these people.
I've been living in Turkey now for 2 years, and I come from a Latin American country where a violation of human rights is something that I have seen since I was in Israel. And let me tell you that what I have been seeing in the last month in Telegraph Avenue has no words to me. Every day watching all these foremen, all these police going behind people, younger people, that they are basically running away from home where they were treated so badly. People that they don't have a real home, people that they need support, people that they need special programs. And watching all those cops, all those feet, as we call them, all those men and women that they constantly make fun of these younger people because they don't have jobs, because they don't have a way of earning money. I cannot believe my eyes watching all these streets, Telegraph Avenue, becoming like the Gestapo, with all these police enforcement going behind them. I am ashamed. I came to this country trying to find a new life, and what I am finding is that a violation of human rights is something terrible here. They don't respect people because they don't have nothing. And I can see all the rich people there in Telegraph Avenue smiling, thinking that they're going to transform Telegraph Avenue and it's going to become like a 4th Street place. It cannot be like that. In one way or another, we are responsible for what is happening in this society. And we're responsible for these kids. These kids, many of them, they call me mom because I am around them every day. And you know something, they are loving kids. If you know how to talk to them, they are people that you can give, they will live their lives for you. They are people that they can talk, they are people that they have a heart, they are people that they are human beings. And this behavior of treating them like superhumans, we should be ashamed. And like Carol Ennissy said, we should be in the streets right now protesting, marching. We cannot this continue happening. This is terrible. Any person is going to be hurt, and then we all are going to pay the consequences. Maybe it is the political fear. I don't give a damn about that. But we have to use to stop this police brutality. We have to stop the rich trying to find scapegoats in the people that they don't have nothing.
And that was Kito King, an activist in Berkeley, speaking at the Police Review Commission June 24th, last night, on behalf of homeless people against the crackdown on Telegraph Avenue mandated by the Berkeley City Council under the name Operation Avenue Watch. We'll hear more testimony from that commission. You're tuned to the recorded version of Bath Robespierre's Broadside, Civil Rights for the Poor, a twice-weekly show on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. My apologies for the poor tape quality. I hope you can decipher through the static of the radio and the hum of the tape recorder, but please keep trying. Hopefully we'll be back with a live show on Sunday, FCC and weather permitting, or health permitting. We can see what happens then. In the meantime, if you have any questions or comments, phone in to 423-4833. Any support for Free Radio Santa Cruz, give a call to 427-4523.
I'm telling you about speaking, but I was out this past Thursday and helping with food out bombs, and I was told that there was going to be a water truck coming to spray down people. And I thought that was pretty strange that something like that was going to be happening. And when I came over there, they had already begun water spraying. And I think that's really wrong, what's going on with the attack on people on Telegraph. And I asked what was in the water. They told me there was no chemical agent in the water, but it certainly smelled a lot differently. And this one man started spraying on a corner opposite a Pace, and he starts spraying right on his bicycle. We asked him to stop spraying on it, and he sprayed right in the gearbox of the bicycle. We then went to a supervisor and told him that he was like spraying his bicycle, which is not part of the street. And he goes, he didn't think that that guy was doing it. And I asked him to make a complaint about it, and he said, call up the city of Berkeley, I can't do anything about it. I then asked him, what was the man's name that was water spraying? He said he couldn't give me that. And he wasn't going to do anything about it, take it up at the city of Berkeley. So we then spoke to the man and asked him to be more careful about spraying on people's personal property, on bicycles. And I just think it's really, really wrong what's going on, and doesn't seem right to have this attack going on. 2 weeks ago, my car got broken into. The window was smashed out. I called up the police. They took about an hour and a half to show up. And when they did show up, they told me they couldn't do anything, so they couldn't take fingerprints, and that I should fill them in and call them and see if they would follow up on it. I've since called the police officer that came and took the report. He hasn't even sent the case over to the district attorney to investigate or done anything about it, take fingerprints or anything.
I'm Jim Shannon. I want to speak for about 30 seconds on behalf of the ACLU of Berkeley, Albany, Richmond, and Kensington. I'm sure it should come as no surprise to you that we're opposed to police sweeps that target people on the basis of who they are rather than what they do, that look at people in categorical ways and enforce the law accordingly. And most of what I have to say on that regard has already been said, and I don't want to take up any more of your time. But I now want to speak as a private citizen. The worst thing about this, from my point of view, is the powerlessness of both the Police Review Commission and the City Council in this issue. In my day, and in other people's days, there was a time when the police department would have come to you before they implemented this program and asked you if it was okay to implement it. Then you would have voted either up or down, and it would have gone to the City Council for their approval. But you're not running this police department anymore, and neither is the City Council. This program was dreamed up in the City Manager's office with absolutely no public input whatsoever from the Commission or the City Council that I know of. It was then presented as a fait accompli, and the police chief is not even here tonight, and that's outrageous. You have to take back the power that other commissions before you had and say, this is not okay. You have to come to us to present this for our advice to the City Council and to you before it's implemented and not after. And if you don't do that, you're not acting as the other commissions did before you. And the City Council isn't even. And that's a real tragedy. It really goes to show how far right the debate has gone. And that's a tragedy. This is an election year situation. I said that when I spoke at a press conference, pleading on behalf of the ACLU for the police department and the city staff not to implement these kind of programs when a group of community groups had a press conference in the lane 3 months ago. We predicted this would happen, and it has happened. Please stop it now. In your hearts, you all know this will not work. You all know that this is a waste of money. So stop it now before more money is wasted, more people who are poor are criminalized, and we have a much bigger problem than we do now on account of this operation. Thank you.
My name is Jason Redline. All I want to say is I think the cops here need a little bit of training on their behavior, like the temper, maybe just controlling the temper, some kind of classes or something for them, you know, because a little bit of name calling is no reason for somebody to be hit in the head with a billy club, you know. I mean, that's about all I gotta say. My name is Matt, and I'm with Cop Watch, and I've been spending all the time off the avenue this last week or so with my camera for the specific purpose of videotaping police misconduct, and I'm running out of tape. I'm serious. So I'm running out of tape of all the egregious examples of police misconduct I've seen out there. And I have some footage here. If anybody wants to see, welcome to look at it. My camera is that TV and VCR. We'll hook it up. I think Andrew's using that tape that the little compilation made. You can hand that off to them. Well, I hope you take a look at it. And for those of you, and some of that footage is also going to air on Channel 25 next Tuesday, time to be announced. I don't know exactly when that is yet. I think it's just going to be pretty damn embarrassing here in the city of Berkeley to find out what's wrong with the police are behaving. We've got 6 or 7 cops standing guards, or somebody's in the spray sidewalk that's already clean. And contrary to what was said earlier, contrary to what Zoe was told about there being no chemicals in the water, a police officer, one of the Berkeley police officers was warning one of the street kids out on the sidewalk that there are chemicals in that water, and she should be careful and get her baby up out of there. I've also got footage of an animal control officer telling some individuals that you keep the dog in the shade of the York of us, which is probably in Telegraph Avenue, just north of Hayes. And then another group of dogs, regular BPD officers come along and tell them, no, they couldn't keep it because they had to move the dog. And they asked why they had to move the dog, the answer was,
because I said so.
Now keep in mind, this is all just over the period about 1 week or so. And I hate to think what's going to happen between now and July 15th when this proposed idea of an experiment ends. I mean, $79,000 for police overtime when your own commission just got 1 foot in grade and you're on a banana peel on account of no funding. And no matter how much overtime you pay somebody, you're working too much, you're going to get stressed and you're going to make mistakes. And police officers being in the position they're in, the power they have, the mistakes they can make, they just can't afford to make, can't afford to be made. And really bizarre irony is that I'm walking up and down the street, people see me with my pop-ups and my camera in my hand. They come up to me and tell me about the crimes that have been perpetrated on them. I mean, I feel like a cop in a Norman Rockwell painting, or maybe an IFB. People are coming up to me and telling me about the crimes and troubles out there in the street. That's not what I'm getting paid to do. They're getting paid to tell police officers that. But the funny thing is, it's the police officers that are perpetrating the inequity.
All right, my name is Michael Deal. I spent several years by Measure O. I went to federal court, the ACLU, as a plaintiff to stop what's happening now, sidewalk sitting. I've talked to people as a counselor at the free clinic and heard people's stories. I'm sure we're going to hear lots more about what's happening this week, the horrors that are going down. This is supposed to be a free country that we're in. You know, I don't want to go to the Telegraph and see what when I felt like I had to run out of a situation because there was this water going up that smelled like noxious. Like, are they doing chemical warfare on us? You know, and now I'm hearing, to me, it's like pirates, like, is this real? And I'm hearing that this is happening a lot. You know, and then the next thing I see is this Officer Gardner, if you want the name, pushes somebody, and arrests this person who's putting garbage back in his truck that he had, there's several witnesses saying that he had didn't, cause to get on the sidewalk. So I just saw it in a brief amount of time. I don't know what's going on. It's like I've gotten politically involved, I've helped get people on the council, I've gone to court, and this stuff is still happening. Why don't we have any control over the police in this city? Yeah. Why do you think that is? I don't understand any of this. It's outrageous to me, and we should not stand for this. We should all say, no way!
No,
no way! This is not right! This is not our country. There should be a faction. We have to stop it.
Listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3 FM, Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. This is the Berkeley Police Review Commission from last night. Coming up next is Chris Worthington, a Berkeley City Council member, probably the most liberal or radical or one-time radical council member on the Berkeley City Council, who is the only council member to attend this hearing. He, however, was sharply criticized, as you earlier heard, by Carol Denny and by others who for not speaking up after all this crackdown had been going on for at least a week before this meeting, and even after the meeting he would take no stand, saying he had to talk to police officers, he had to talk to other council members. Some found it strange that he could not simply say, this is outrageous, I'd like to get support and I hope to do so, but I will stand up anyway and speak out regardless, or at least I'll tell you what I think. He seemed to be taking a politician's position, which disappointed many of us. But here he is, you can get an idea, the most liberal council member in one of the most liberal cities in Berkeley, and he's hedging badly. The good news is that the Berkeley Police Review Commission itself became infused with the spirit of the audience, or perhaps felt sufficiently pressured that they came up with a number of actions, which actually was astonishing to those of us present. We've never seen a police review board act this way. First, without further investigation, they ruled that the crackdown was wrong, and they demanded the council stop it. They recommended the council immediately that it be stopped. They recommended that before any further crackdown be initiated, it be first brought to council and the Police Review Commission for prior approval. This has been done, or was done in the 70s and 80s apparently, according to past testimony. They issued a public press release asserting their opposition to the crackdown. They declared a public hearing to be held within 1 week on or near Telegraph Avenue, so that homeless people, many of whom had walked with their backpacks all the way down to this hearing, could conveniently attend it. And then they also provided that their investigators would go out on Telegraph Avenue and start taking complaints, and also, incidentally, be present in the combat zone, where police are, and I saw this with my own eyes last night, gathering in groups of 6 to 8 to harass people, ticket them for such minor offenses as jaywalking, having a dog, sitting down on the sidewalk, even where sitting is not illegal. The whole point of this operation, along with the mental health 5150 teams and animal control, grab your dog if you don't get out of town teams, is to make it an inhospitable place for a certain class of people and, in essence, reassure the merchants that even though the law that the merchants passed in 1994 was thrown out by the courts and then by the city council as illegal or unconstitutional and then as unwise, that they're still going to be the same old repression as usual by police who are ignoring the law, ignoring the city council, ignoring the Police Review Commission, and seemingly taking their orders directly from bigwigs on Telegraph Avenue like Andy Ross of Cody's, who want a particularly homeless-free Telegraph Avenue. Let's hear Chris Worthington, who, as I said, disappointed me badly, but who knows, in the next few days he might be able to recoup, having seen that his left-wing constituency, his radical constituency, won't stand for anything but a real strong stand. He may be forced to take a real strong stand.
First, I want to thank the PRC for listening to so much public comment. I think it's great, and I've done the same thing at city council meetings to make motions for the city council to do that, and lots of council members complain, but I think that's one of the most important things that the city council or the commissions can do, is listen to the public and then try to translate the ideas for action from the public into reality. Last night, the Berkeley City Council voted on the city budget. And there's one thing that's probably very important to many of you, since you're on the PRC. The city manager's budget and the mayor's budget both proposed to cut a half-time position, to cut the investigator position for the PRC to half-time. The vice mayor's budget was one, thankfully. Reinstated that to a full-time position of a full-time PRC investigator. Some people probably think that we need more than one investigator because there's so much work that needs to be done, but at least for now, the council has reinstated the half-time position, so you do have a full-time investigator to help you do a good job. And I'm very pleased that was in the budget. There also were a bunch of other things proposed for the budget, including some very strange things. The mayor's budget proposed that it's okay to spend money on lockers and showers for homeless people and for the teen center, but none of that money could be spent unless the city adopted an effective ordinance prohibiting camping, sitting and lying on sidewalks, Telegraph Avenue only during specified hours. The other part of the mayor's budget, now it's sort of strange to be doing a budget in the first place, but this is part of her budget, says that the passage of an ordinance that prohibits the storage of belongings, knapsacks, mattresses, and the like on sidewalks, commercial area, Telegraph Avenue only during specified hours. So her budget said none of these services should be provided unless the city adopted new ordinances outlawing sitting, lying, camping, and all these other things. Fortunately, the progressive council members didn't vote for the mayor's budget and for this long string of new laws, to which all of the progressives said, as Michael said, no way. This is outrageous. Instead,
The Progressive Council voted in favor of $105,000 for the chaplaincy for the homeless for the teen program, $20,000 for the showers, $10,000 for lockers, as well as $86,000 for a toilet, which has been demanded by the business owners. Personally, I think it's probably a waste of money because it's not going to do much to solve the problem. But since it was the number one demand from the business people, we said, okay, you know, we're putting most of our money into services. We'll also put $86,000 into a toilet, and we'll try out one. The mayor's budget proposed 4 of these toilets, which I think would have been a drastic waste of money. There's one thing that has been stated in terms of the cleaning the streets and the sidewalks and the increased number of times that it's cleaned. Every time the mayor proposes all of these reactionary proposals to arrest more people, to have lots more police, to make new laws, I always say, we don't need to do that. Why don't we do 2 things? One, focus on cleanliness instead of on attacking the homeless people and poor people and young people on the street. And why don't we enforce the simple laws that are the things that people really care about? When people are blocking the sidewalk, which is pretty rare, but when that happens, that's a legitimate problem and we need to enforce it. When people are sitting on the sidewalk, that's not a legitimate problem and we don't need to outlaw it, as far as I'm concerned. So, to some extent, this is a weird political situation because the more conservative people get to say, well, we're in favor of a new law to outlaw sitting, we want to outlaw camping, outlaw all these things. We say, no, you know, we don't need to do that. We should enforce the law, which sounds like a rational, progressive response. Then they say, okay, well, let's have lots more police to enforce those laws. And the progressives say, well, you don't really need a lot of police to enforce these laws. It takes a very small number of police to actually enforce these laws in an effective way for the real problem. But we keep saying no, no, no. You know, no, you don't need a million police. No, you don't need lots of new laws. We have to say yes. Also, someone seems to think that I talked about Avenue Watch last night, and I'm going to listen to the tape, and I may have misspoke, but I certainly didn't mention Avenue Watch. What I commended last night, and what I think was a good idea, I proposed a year ago, and the Public Works Department implemented doubling the number of times that we clean the streets, and doubling the number of times that we clean the sidewalks. This is not Shirley Dean's reactionary proposal. This is my proposal that says we should clean the area so that they don't keep attacking us.
And unfortunately, my tape recorder went kablooey, or I should say my batteries at that point. However, the most eloquent speaker of the evening, by far for my money, myself included, and I'm not mentioning my speech here, although I may play it later in the tape, was Andrea Pritchard, the head of Copwatch in Berkeley, the original Copwatch group, kind of following in the footsteps of the Black Panther Party, though not with armed guns. They have initiated the process of following police officers with video cameras, giving people reports to fill out who witness misconduct. They, in essence, are really the eyes and ears of the people on the streets with respect to the police. Sometimes criticized for not being sufficiently militant, often castigated for being anti-police. Anyway, Pritchard was wonderful, and we're going to hear her after a short musical interlude. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is a tape show today because I'm over the hill with a San Jose activist at St. James Park. Another gentrification effort is underway by the powers that be in San Jose. We're trying to stop them, to demonstrate that poor and homeless people have a right to be in parks and in public spaces throughout the country. And San Jose's Food Not Bombs has asked us to come over, and some of us from HUF and from other groups, the Initiative to Repeal the Sleeping Ban. Some campus greens are all going over there to keep an eye, see if the police don't get out of hand at a homeless protest, and also to express our solidarity with the right of poor people to be in public spaces. And I'll be giving you a report on that, hopefully, on Sunday. But stay tuned for more from last night's Berkeley Police Review Commission, plus a couple of surprises. But first, let's have a little musical interlude from Peter, Paul, and Mary, one of their little-known tapes, little-known to me, from the 80s, No Easy Walk to Freedom. Some great music on this tape. In fact, we may play a couple of additional cuts later in the show. And if you want, join in, you know, raise your voices in song, and hey, make up your own lyrics. So here, after a brief turn of the tape, is Peter, Paul, and Mary, No Easy Walk to Freedom.
across the ocean, the blood's running warm. I hear it coming, there's a thunder and storm. Just like he left it, you know that it's true. Doesn't matter now, now we're walking with you.